The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
All right, thank you, Matt. God bless you, listener. I'm excited that you're with me today. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Truth Infusion. I've got something on my heart that I'm ready to share with you. God's put something on me that in the last several months I have been studying personally and that I have been writing about. If you are regular with our website, truthinfusion.com, you may have looked at the blog page. If you have, in the last several additions to that, last several posts, I've been going through a teaching that God is taking me through on the doctrine of sanctification. Unbelievably important information that every Christian must understand if you have a desire at all to live a successful Christian life, and I know all of you do. If you want to be a success in your walk with the Lord, you have to understand sanctification. It's a strange sounding word. The reason it is because it's not one that's taught nearly enough in our churches and in our other Christian avenues of teaching. But we must have not only the teaching of sanctification, but the right teaching, because it's the truth that sets us free. So that's what I want to do today. I want to give you an introduction to this a series, if you will, of teachings that I'm going to do on the upcoming shows on this all-important doctrine of sanctification. And I know that if you're able to keep up with this, that it will enlighten your spirit, maybe correct some wrong ideals that you've been taught or that you've assumed yourself, show you the Word of God in ways that you maybe have not been able to see it before. And that's revelation knowledge, when the Holy Spirit takes the word and it goes from being education to revelation. That revelation word in your heart is what changes your heart and turns you more and more into like Jesus Christ. And that's the whole goal of sanctification in a nutshell. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And then I'm going to introduce today the very basic definition of what is sanctification and why do we need to hear this teaching. Why is this important? But I want you to join me in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would anoint me today. Help me to explain why this process of sanctification is so important, why we need to know this. And God, I can't do that on my own. So I pray in Jesus' name that you would give me the Holy Spirit to speak through me, that your words would go out and be heard, and that those that hear your words would be blessed and touched in a mighty way, a life-changing way. Open our ears that we may hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the process of sanctification, it's absolutely amazing. It is the act of God the Father, the grand artist, creating in us as individuals his greatest masterpiece. Because basically what he's doing is he is taking a life born in sin, born in rebellion, and revolutionizing it and conforming it into the image of the only begotten Son, into the image of the perfect one. Sanctification is the process of the natural man, the way we were born in our natural state, being progressively changed into a spiritual man. And C.S. Lewis, one of my very favorite writers, he referred to it as sinful man being transformed into a son of God. How amazing is that thought? You know, Jesus performed countless miracles while he was here on earth in his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. In fact, John told us that if everything he had done were recorded, then the world would not be able to contain the volumes of books. But let me tell you the greatest miracle Jesus has ever performed, the greatest miracle ever known by man on earth, is when the heart of a sinful man or woman, is transformed and changed by grace through faith to be like Jesus Christ. Absolutely, without a doubt, the greatest miracle that there is. The administrator of this process of sanctification is the Holy Spirit. We've got to spend time in coming weeks digging into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You've got to understand it. Because just as with Jesus and salvation, the work of the cross in salvation is not applied to a heart and life until a person is willing to face Jesus Christ and submit his life totally to Jesus. When we come to Jesus in full submission, that he grants us salvation through the cross. The same thing is true with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Until we have a working knowledge of what it is, what he does, how he does it, and then submit ourselves to his ministry, until we do that, he cannot fully do the work that he desires to do in our life. And what is, in one word, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? The one word is sanctification. He is the sanctifier. And over the next few weeks, I want to break down this process. What is sanctification? How does it work? How do I affect it? Today, I want to hopefully touch on, why is this important to even know? There's 100 other Christian radio shows you could be listening to discussing all manner of things. Some are important, some maybe no. Why is this so very important to you? I hope to elaborate on that. We have a disconnect in the church today that I really don't know how to get across in words. How much of a disconnect there is. We desire as people to serve and love the Lord. But overall, our understanding of how God has outlined in his word that we will do that is completely misunderstood or not taught at all. Two big problems in the modern day church when it comes to understanding doctrine like sanctification. And on a side note, like I said last week, understanding doctrine, a true interpretation and application of doctrine, equals freedom. Doctrine results in freedom. And I gave you that and underlined it through the word when Jesus said to us in John that if you abide in my word and my teaching, which is what? Doctrine. Then you are my disciples indeed. So if you do the first, then you get the second, you become a disciple. And what does that relate to? The next verse, verse 31 in chapter 8. Then you will have an experiential knowledge of the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, living in the word equals freedom. Doctrine becomes freedom. So we must know how to live for the Lord, not what our pastor says necessarily, unless he's speaking the truth, not what the popular Christian pastor that's got the book on the bestseller list is telling us to do. I need to know what the Bible says, because Jesus said, if you abide in my word, the result is freedom. You've got to know sanctification. The problem is we don't get discipled enough. And understanding spiritual concepts is absolutely necessary for day-to-day victory in your life. You've got to know what the Bible says, and you've got to be able to understand how it says we should apply it. I pray that God will use me to make this doctrine of sanctification easy to understand so that it becomes lifestyle. That's the goal, lifestyle. But we've got two problems when it comes to doctrines like sanctification. The first one is just pure ignorance. And that really falls into two areas. Number one, we have many of our teachers and preachers today that don't understand. And they'll preach up a storm behind their pulpit, but they don't have a true understanding of the word. And listen, when it comes to sanctification, just this morning, I was pulling up all kinds of teaching, looking to see what different people are saying. Over and over, I saw some misunderstanding that's being applied to this doctrine that completely kills our ability to have a process of sanctification take place in our lives and it happen regularly, day to day, the way God desires for it to. I'm going to point that out in just a moment because there's one caveat we throw in there. We have a tendency to add that's just natural to us that just brings this process of sanctification to a screeching halt. And that is adding ourselves into it. I'm gonna be more specific here in a moment. But our preachers and teachers don't have a good understanding. And so that becomes the lay people, the church, with either no understanding or a misunderstanding. But we can't put it all off on our pastors and preachers and teachers if they're not teaching right, because here's the bottom line. You are responsible for your understanding and for your Christian growth. You are. It's your relationship with God. And so ultimately, I am responsible for the life that I live. I'm going to answer to God for what I do and don't do. I'm going to answer to God for what I allow Him to do in me. I'm going to answer to God for what I do with the callings and the giftings that He has placed in my life. And we've got to allow this process to take place. Because when we don't approach it correctly, we bring it to a screeching halt. Let me give you an example. As I said, I was looking and reading in several different places today, seeing what other writers and authors and Christian teachers were saying about what is sanctification. And this is just a paragraph that I pulled out of one thing that I read. I'm not going to give the author's name because it's not the point. The point is that the teaching is not right. And let me give you a prime example. Here is what one gentleman wrote. Sanctification is the process of being set apart for God's work and being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, stop. I love that. That really is just a breakdown of what the word sanctification means when you do the word study. Beautiful. Worded wonderfully. Next sentence. This conforming to Christ involves the work of the person. Now we've got a problem. And I'm going to show you in the second segment why this is a problem. The idea that sanctification involves the work of you and I, that really throws a big monkey wrench into the machinery. Because we don't have any problem saying that being saved is a work of God that is done by faith that I cannot earn and I cannot prove myself for. To be saved by what Jesus did on the cross is completely an act of grace that I cannot earn. I just believe and He gives it to me. Most preachers preach that correctly, and we all know salvation comes by Jesus giving us what we did not deserve. But then when it comes to sanctification, the act of the believer becoming more like Christ, we then begin to apply ourselves to it. In other words, we didn't need us for the salvation part. That's a work of God and Jesus. But when it comes to me becoming more like Christ, now I've got to start doing the work. Here's how one of my favorite Christian teachers puts it. The problem is with believers is that most believe in being saved by faith, but then they teach being sanctified by self. And this gentleman I just quoted from, he said, let me read it again. This conforming to Christ involves the work of the person. No, it doesn't. That's the problem with our teaching on sanctification. That's what the whole book of Galatians was teaching against. They began to add other things to the work of the cross, to the work of Christ, and it fouled them all up. In fact, Paul has said, you were running such a good race. Who cut in on you? He tells us in Galatians that righteousness does not come by the law, or else Christ died in vain. We had to have Jesus and Jesus alone to get saved. You know what? We need Jesus and Jesus alone to become more like Jesus. We've got to learn not how to work to earn and gain our sanctification. We've got to learn how to get out of the way so that the Holy Spirit can do what only He can do. We are new creations, yes. But just because we've become a new creation does not mean we now have the ability to do what only God can do. We've got to learn how to give him his place. And that's what I want to show you next. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7. Let Paul show us the struggle that he had. Come back. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth.
Do you or your loved one need the support of Compassionate Home Healthcare Services? Truth Infusion Ministries would love to recommend Kelton Home Health for your home health needs. They offer skilled nursing care, home health aids, and multiple forms of therapy, all in the comfort of your home. For more information, call 903-796-4040. That's 903-796-4040. Kelton Home Health, enriching lives every day.
Hey, Truth Infusion listeners, this is David. I need you to do something for me. I want to take some of our radio shows and use them like a question and answer time. I want to take the questions that you have, apply the Word of God to them, and see if I can help you come up with some answers to some stuff perhaps you've been struggling with. So you go to truthinfusion@gmail.com and send me your questions. truthinfusion@gmail.com, and you keep seeking the truth. So the question is, what is sanctification? It's the process of becoming more like Christ. God has lined out a process by which He will do it. We should be able to look back over our Christian life and say, well, in the last several years, I know I've got some distance to go, but I have come so far. God has brought me so far. I'm so much more like Christ. I've seen sin issues fall and drop off of me. I've become more like Him in word and in deed and in teaching. You see the process as it takes place. Now, some of us will learn along the way how to give ourselves to the process, how to give in to the process. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit just... He shakes off the chains that we've put on Him, and He goes to work doing an amazing miracle in our life, turning us more and more into sons of God. Why is it important for us to look at this? Because there's only two roads that you can walk as a Christian. One leads to life, one leads to death. Now, what will you choose? In order to know which road you're walking, you have to have an understanding of the process, what this doctrine is all about. If you don't understand it, you won't be able to identify how you are living in regards to the Holy Spirit, how you are living in regards to the cross. You will not be able to identify if you're winning or losing, other than the fact that you're going to be miserable. So many Christians today live a life that is defeated, and that compounds on the fact that we understand enough of the Word to know that we're not supposed to be living that way. We're supposed to have life and life more abundant. Isn't that what the Word says? Doesn't the Word say that we should be more than conquerors? Isn't that what Paul tells us? Yes. Shouldn't we be preaching and teaching this gospel and seeing lives changed? I mean, come on, think about it. If this is a life-changing gospel that we've given ourselves to, then we ought to be seeing lives changed. Hello? Is God doing life-changing work through you? Is He even able to change your life? Are you still struggling with the same sin issues that you struggled with at the beginning of your walk with the Lord? Are you still worrying yourself with trying to figure out, how am I ever going to get past this stuff? This is the effect of sanctification. You begin to leave the sinful things behind. You begin to grab a hold of the spiritual things. The fruit of the Spirit begins to become evident in your life, and you become a ministering powerhouse for the kingdom, because you're walking in the Spirit and the Spirit is leading you. But for the most part, we don't understand God's plan for us, how to live in such a way that He can see that plan come to fruition. And so we live in defeat. We're saved, yes. We love the Lord, yes. We are defeated people, though. Because Jesus said, if you remain in my word, then you are my disciple. Then you know the truth. Then the truth sets you free. If you're able to turn to Romans chapter 7, I want you to see what most all of us have just identified with what I just described. But I want you to see it in the Word. Romans chapter 7, Paul begins to pour out his heart in regards to the fact that he himself struggled with this greatly before he came to a place that he started understanding the new covenant, understanding grace, understanding the cross, understanding sanctification. Until he began to understand that, then he started to live it, and he began to walk away from the defeat and the struggle that he outlines in Romans chapter 7. But when you hear these words, if you have not studied and read this, this ought to strike a chord with so many of us. Because all of us have been in this place, probably most of our Christian life. Just because you wear church face on Sunday morning does not mean you escape the reality of where you're living in regards to your sin nature, in regards to the Spirit living in you, in regards to the sanctification process that you're in. Listen to what Paul says. I'm going to start in verse 15, chapter 7. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. That in itself is a powerful statement. Paul is admitting there was a time in his Christian walk, sometime after the Damascus Road experience, and before he had a good understanding of how to live for the Lord, and before he started founding churches and being the apostle to the Gentiles, when he was still learning this, there was a time where he said, the way I'm living, I do not understand. How many of you can say that you understand what he's talking about? I don't understand why I do this the way I do. I don't understand why I'm struggling like I'm struggling. I don't understand why I'm supposed to be a winner and a victorious, but I feel so defeated. I don't understand why it seemed to be easier before I got saved. Now that I'm saved, I'm struggling even more. You know how many Christians I've heard tell me that? You know how many times I've thought that? Can you hear the apostle, the great apostle of grace, saying, I don't understand what I do? Paul continues by saying, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. You hear him? What I have in my heart, my desire to love the Lord and serve the Lord and to live the way that pleases the Lord, I want to live this way, but I can't. He goes on to say, but what I hate, that's what I keep doing. I know you hear this. What I want to do for you, Lord, I seem to never be able to accomplish. And the very thing that I hate is what I keep doing. He says in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to do what is good I do not find. Paul was explaining to us, he was saved, he desired to live for the Lord, but he did not yet know how, and all he had left to do was to try to accomplish this by his own ability, his own deeds, his own skills, his own strengths, if you will. And no matter how hard he tried, no matter how hard he willed, he failed. And failure upon failure brought him to a place of just being broken before the Lord. And Paul says, I don't understand. And you know what? He didn't. He didn't know. And when we don't know how to live for the Lord, the only other road we have to walk is frustration and failure that leads to death. I want to touch on the last part of Romans chapter 7, verse 24. And this is so picturesque. Holy Spirit, as he laid this out, Paul concludes this travail, this struggle, explaining what he was dealing with by saying in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of what? Of death." You know that word wretched, I did a word study on it. We hear the word wretched and we have a picture in our mind of evil. And I guess it has that connotation of the sin nature and the sin that he was struggling with, it being evil. And I'll give you that. But there's more to that word than just that. Because this word wretched, if you do the word study, here's what you find. Originally, it meant wretched through the exhaustion of hard labor. Okay? Wretched through the exhaustion of hard labor. What is Paul saying here? I am exhausted from trying so hard. I'm in a wretched state of exhaustion from giving it all I've got and continuing to fall and to come up short. What a wretched man that I am. What a physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted wreck I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Well, but don't miss verse 25, child of God. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, Paul found the answer. He found the only answer to that wretched state that he was in and the wretched state that you and I find ourselves in so often. And you can find this answer in the Word of God. And that is why we must learn sanctification, what it is, how it works, how I apply myself to it. Do I do work? Do I not do work? What do I do? What is this all about? That's what I want to show you. Because if you will begin to grab a hold of this teaching, and God will turn it from education into revelation, then you will begin to live, reside, remain in the Word, and that will result in you becoming a disciple of Christ. And when we become a disciple of Christ, we begin to experience the truth, and that truth sets us free. Thank you so much for joining me today. You keep seeking the truth. Come back next time as we dig into the doctrine of sanctification.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.